Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. And we're glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show, as it is every day, is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. It is a great place to call right now and line up your first tailgate catering a week from Saturday when the Golden Eagles play at the Rock. Dickey's would be the number one call I would make if I were in the market for that, and we think you'll be very happy with Dickey's Barbecue. All right, really appreciate Coach Will Hall joining us each and every Monday, and we're going to kick it off this week because it is game week, Coach, and we are 5 days away. Fall camp is now in the books. Spring football is in the rear mirror, and 5 days out from starting your fourth season. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good, guys. I really am. Y'all know I really like this bunch, and I love to coach them, love the way they compete, love the way they embrace all of that that is with football. And we've been through a lot together over the last few years. We've been through a lot this summer, and they always seem to respond the right way. And just the way they act, the way they work every day has been so much fun to be around. But also, you know, it's a talented bunch. You know, I mean, they're kids that were highly recruited, and they've grown since they've been in our program. And I can't wait to roll it out there and play with them and grow each week throughout this season.
Coach, when you look at Kentucky, what are some of the things that they problems they impose on your team?
Oh, man. You know, I think y'all had one of their radio guys on, or one of their people that analyzes their team last week, and he said something that you've seen all over the offseason. If you keep up with Kentucky, they think this is their most talented team they've ever had. And I think the first thing that jumps off at you is their consistency in recruiting, with Coach Stoops being there so long, from the standpoint of they really recruit size and length. That's not to say they're not fast too, but they'll sacrifice speed for size and length. And when you look at their D-line, number zero, the Walker kid, you know, is projected. I think I saw the other day some people got him picked as high as number 4th overall in the NFL draft. Humongous young man that plays at a high level on the D-line. Their other D-linemen are good as well. Their receiver, number 7, the Brown kid, he's Barry and Brown, I believe is his name. He's just an unbelievable kick returner, punt returner at times too, can make explosive plays. So they've recruited well. They've got a really good football team. But we have too, so we're excited to go up there and play.
How challenging will it be for this offensive line? Obviously, you added some pieces in the transfer portal. We've talked about that so many times. But just to go up against that type of defensive line on the first game, it's kind of hard to gauge.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of the better D-lines we'll play, you know, all this year. They're extremely talented. They're older. They're extremely physical. They're just big and long. And there's not a lot of drop off from their ones to their twos, you know. But we'll have to, you know, we'll have to play, you know, hard nosed, tough football. But we will. Our kids are tough. They're gritty, and our kids are good players too. You know, where it's not like we're going into any game anymore, Dima, where we're, you know, just hoping it works out for us. We've got real deal college football players now that are competitors, and they're looking forward to this challenge.
Coach, a couple of weeks ago you said you thought that you would name a starting quarterback last week. I haven't heard anything official, and then the depth chart drops today, and two guys are listed, there kind of side by side at the quarter. There's obviously a reason for this. Kind of fill in some blanks for us.
Yeah, well, we did name a starter. You know, we just didn't name it to the media. You know, and we've been functioning as if there's a starter for a while now. Our program knows, but we just don't feel. I feel like it's doing a disservice to our football program and our fan base to let Kentucky know exactly what we're going to do, right, wrong, or indifferent. And because our quarterbacks have such a unique and different skill set, you know, I think that it's not doing our team right either. You know, if you look over at Kentucky, I don't think they're handling it any different, you know, without I haven't seen today if they came out with a depth chart establishing anybody. But, you know, it's just what we need to do to give us the best chance this week, which is, you know, what I want to do, what I hope all Southern Miss fans would hope I would do.
But, Coach, it's fair to say, right, everybody knows who the two kids are that have competed, that we're going to see both of them contributing to the football team. Can we say that today?
Well, I don't want to say anything that would give Kentucky an edge, so we'll just have to see. Okay. You know, we'll just have to see. We'll have to sit on that for a little while and see how the game plays out.
You know, we can't eliminate Dima, though, right? I did see him text you the other day and ask you what chances he had of starting.
Now, Dima could have played for us, though, in 2021, for sure. You know, he could have played for us that season. But fortunately, guys, we've recruited really well for 3 years, and we've got some really good quarterbacks on our roster now, and I'm excited to watch them play this year.
I wanted to ask you, too, Coach, about one of your former players. And I read where Frank Gore Jr. is tearing it up in Buffalo. And did I read that he ran for 100 yards in a preseason game? Does that surprise you?
He did. No, it doesn't surprise me. And I texted with Frank last night and again this morning. I texted with Swayze Bozeman as well, and I've texted with several of ours. You know, we've got a really high success rate right now with our undrafted free agents making rosters. I think that's a credit to, number one, to those kids. Number two, to, you know, when I was hired here 4 years ago, we said we're going to implement NFL-style schemes that are going to be easy for those kids to transition to the league. And we've been able to show that to kids in recruiting, which has helped our recruiting because our undrafted free agents really stick. And I think, you know, Swayze Bozeman sent a text to Coach Meyer, our special teams coordinator, the other day, just thanking him because every drill they do at Kansas City and the special teams is exactly like the drills we do here. So I think the learning curve for our players because of the schemes we run is a lot simpler than maybe some other places. And that's shown over the last few years. When you look at Natron Brooks and Tykeem Doss and Jason Brownlee, you know, to Frank Gore and Swayze Bozeman this year, you know, those undrafted free agents are sticking and making it. And that's something we're very proud of.
Coach, the goal obviously is to win every game you play, but what specific things are you looking for from your team this Saturday when you guys go to Lexington?
Yeah, you know, just to lay it on the line. You know, I mean, we're at the point in time in our program where we don't feel like, you know, that we have to pay homage to anybody anymore when we play them. You know, that we're worthy to be there. We're looking forward to our Sun Belt season. We feel like we've got a team that can compete in the Sun Belt for a Sun Belt Conference Championship. We think we're going to be in the mix. And this is game one. You know, obviously we want to limit the amount of mistakes you make. We want to control the things we can control. When you think about pre-snap and post-snap penalties, when you think about, you know, alignment issues, substitution errors that you see all over college football, clock management issues that you saw all over the last – this past weekend and week one, those game one eras, with us being an experienced team, we would like to carry that over, and hopefully that can be an advantage for us.
And we haven't talked a lot about your special teams units this year. We've talked about the depth at the running back position and the strength of the defensive line and obviously the quarterback situation almost ad nauseum, but we really haven't talked much about special teams, which are called special teams for a reason.
Yeah, you know, 2 years ago when we had an older, experienced team, you know, we finished top 25 in the country. And I think that's something this year that you'll see again. We could even be better because of the depth that we've been able to recruit. You're going to see that in all our coverage units and return units. Andrew Stein's had a fantastic fall camp at place kicking. Bryce Lofton is one of the most improved players on our team. I think you're going to see him really take hold of that punt position and become a really good player for us. Southern Miss is known for great punters, you know, from Ray Guy to the great Peter Bain to the great Luke Johnson to Mason Hunt. And now, I mean, you know, I think Bryce could have a really great year for us this year. And, you know, and then our kickoff guy, man, we got some young guys. Connor Gibbs was a true freshman last year that kicked off for us. He's back. And then we added Luke Stewart out of Oak Grove, and that guy's got a cannon for a leg. So I think that's going to be a much improved area for us as well.
All right, we're talking to head football coach Will Hall. It is game week. Man, this feels good to say that. It seems like we've been talking about practice for quite a bit. But we're going to have Coach Hall on the show every Monday. Going to continue our conversation with him today right on the other side of this short break. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And we know that many, many, many of you do that every month. And we're very grateful to you for that. Still to come, Lee Roberts later in the show. But on the other side of this break, more with head football coach Will Hall. Game week on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. They'll be buzzing now the football season is back. CampusBookmart.net. If you listen in other parts of the state or the country, you can always get your Southern Miss swag by going to CampusBookmart.net. Still to come, former quarterback Lee Roberts is going to be joining us, but right now we'll continue our conversation with Coach Will Hall. Coach, I ask a writer from Kentucky we had on the show last week a similar question to this, but I'm going to change yours a little bit. I asked him what was the difference in the Kentucky team that played Southern Miss in 2016 and today. I want to ask you, when your guys take the field Saturday, what will be the biggest difference in the football team that takes the field Saturday and the first Southern Miss football team that you put on the field?
Good grief.
Remember, it's just an hour. It's just an hour show.
I think you could talk about that for the whole segment.
All right.
Will, right?
Well, let's hear it. Let's go.
Oh, man. Just overall talent and overall number of players with talent. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, guys, we got here. We had one quarterback on scholarship and six O-linemen on scholarship and like five or six D-linemen. Like, we were just, you know, it's been a total rebuild from the ground up. Everybody knows that. We don't have to go all into that. We're past that now. But it's year four. We've got 85 scholarships, man, and we've got three straight recruiting classes of highly recruited kids. I mean, look at our depth chart, you know, that we put out today, and all the kids that are graduates and juniors and seniors and those type players. You know, we're just an older football team that's equipped to play big-time college football. And like I told you, we got a punt block that first year by Middle Tennessee State, and I think it was five or six walk-ons on the field, mm-hmm. you know, when it happened. Mm-hmm. And it just is what it is.
And clearly, as I look at it from just a layman's standpoint, the depth at quarterback has, and we killed the subject, I know, But the depth at quarterback has never been remotely close to that. When you got a kid like John White, who basically is, you know, looking at your third string guy, I mean, that's got to make you feel pretty good, Coach Hull.
It does. It does. John White's going to be a phenomenal football player here, and then Ethan's really talented, and so is Tate. So and they're winners. They've been winners their whole life, and like I said, they didn't just, you know, they chose Southern Miss. Southern Miss didn't choose them. You know, I mean, that's what you want kids in recruiting, that have so many options that you've got to convince them to choose Southern Miss. You know, you don't want to just get sign a kid that's the only option he had. And all three of these kids, man, they had lots of options. So, and I think the depth on the line of scrimmage is probably the biggest difference, you know, since we got here. I mean, you know, like I said, we were so thin at the O-line and D-line spots. And now we've got, you know, we're really deep on both sides, and all those kids were, you know, at a minimum, were recruited by every Group of Five school in the South. You know, a lot of them had SEC offers and played at SEC schools at some point in time. So, mm-hmm. just a way different atmosphere on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I thought defensive line was the first big change I think we saw a couple of years ago. It really jumped out at you how different the defensive line looked. I just have this feeling, and listening to Dima, who's at every practice, we may be talking in that terms about the offensive line later this year. Man, look how much better the offensive line is. Fair?
No, you will. I mean, it's been a build at the offensive line. That's the way it has to be at this level. And we've never wavered in how we evaluate and what our, you know, we've built and made decisions with the end in mind. And we've recruited so well at those spots, Sam Gregg and Ben Thomas and everybody affiliated with our program. And we've developed with Coach Ancar. And I'm excited to watch that bunch play, man. They're going to be, you know, it'll be the best offensive line Southern Miss has had in a while.
Now, you've talked about the three quarterbacks. And, of course, you got to, in this day and age, too, you got to make this new breed of athlete, you got to kind of make them happy to a degree. So you have to re-recruit your guys and have them stay. And that's, we talked with Jason Henderson of Old Dominion about how he stayed at Old Dominion when he said, look, I know I got a good deal here and they're keeping me happy. So why would I want to go somewhere else where it might be better? It might not. But you've got three quarterbacks in this particular situation. You want to keep them happy. You want to keep them in-house. The NIL is a way to do that. And Coach Hall, you hear a lot of Southern Miss fans, woe is me. The sky is falling. We don't have any money. We're not going to be able to. But you're the only guy that's out there beating the drum of we are doing well, and we're miles ahead of where a lot of other Sun Belt schools are in the NIL landscape.
We really are, and it's a huge advantage for us. NIL has been great for Southern Miss. I think since NIL has been put in place, all you've seen is our football program, our baseball program, and our basketball program out-recruit everybody within their particular realm of that Sun Belt Conference USA world. And that's because of the great place Southern Miss is. It's because of our great coaching staffs in those sports. But also, we've got a collective with a full-time guy running it in Peter Bain that is growing. And we've got a fan base that is starting to embrace it. And we're taking off and running. This is the first time, really, since the whole facility arms race started to happen in the late 80s, moving into the 90s, that we've got a edge again. You know, when that facility arms race happened, that was kind of the first movement in college athletics where things started to separate between the haves and have-nots. And we probably got left behind a little bit right there several times in that whole movement, but now with this NIL, it has given us a chance to take off again and take off and run. It allows our fan base to have a weapon to use to show how great we are. And we are. We're running off and leaving people in our realm. We've got a chance, if we'll keep growing this and capitalize on great seasons, to start functioning like a Big 12 or an ACC team, even a lower-tier SEC team. We're not that far away from that if we'll keep taking it and running with it.
Well, when you look at the defensive depth chart, I was just sitting here looking at it. I'm counting eight guys. It's eight starting guys who are graduate seniors, and then you have two seniors on the back end. And then at the way bottom, you got Will James, is a redshirt freshman. getting, at least for now, the nod over Brendan Toles, and obviously you mix and match him as the game goes on. But you have all of those, you know, veteran players, and Will James, who the guy I'm driving the bus for, by the way, is the guy who's going to be taking the reps there at corner. He has had probably one of the best fall camps, as I've asked you about. Just talk about him and what he will mean to this team this season.
Yeah, real deal football player, has a knack for just playing the game of football. We recruited him really hard out of Theodore in Mobile, and he was committed to us for a long time. And then, you know, like a lot of kids, the SEC came calling, so we went and tried it. And then he wanted to come back to be with coaches that he knew, loved, and cared for him, and were going to develop him. And he loves Southern Miss, and we love him. He's going to have some growing pains this year, all young kids do. But he is a dynamic player. You'll see him in the return game. You'll eventually see him, for his career's over, play both ways. He's just a really dynamic football player with a great mama, and he's going to be a good one.
All right, Coach, just a minute or so left. We're all waiting for Saturday night. Is there a message that you would like to send to the Southern Miss Nation on the eve of the start of a new year?
Man, just excited about year four. I think our fans should have a lot of hope with the way we've recruited and the way we've built this program. It's been a quest, if you will, to get to this point. We're going to take it week by week. We've got a great off-season schedule, and we've got a great conference schedule. But I think you'll see, you know, as we take it week by week, we're going to get on into November, and we're going to be in the mix for this thing, you know, as we build this program back. And I think this is a year that we could really look back on and say it's when Southern Miss got back rolling. And excited to be a part of it. These kids worked their butt off, and I'm just thankful to be with them and be a part of it, man.
All right, Coach. Well, we're thankful that you're willing to join us every week during the football season, and we look forward to having you back on the show next Monday. Dima and I will be here with bells on, waiting to talk to you about the Kentucky game.
What's Kelly doing?
He's welching out. You know, Kelly. He's I don't know. It's some like an opera for old women or something that he's going.
No,
to.
No, I'm going to Nashville this weekend. I'm a commissioner in two or three fantasy football leagues in the Nashville area. Believe it or not,
I call Cap.
Cap. Kelly, you've got a tough life, Kelly. You really do.
Don't I?
High stress.
Yeah.
High stress.
I told you I wouldn't say this on the air, Coach, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it. The man showed up here today to interview you, wearing a shirt with snow cones all over it. And so on behalf of Dima, we apologize to you for that, Coach Hall.
Well, you know, Kelly is one of those people that's always in character. You know, you don't ever have to worry, you know, if he's not being himself and not representing who he really is. So,
who else would want to be me?
He's chugging the Southern Skies beer right now. Stop, Kelly, stop.
Yes. Hey, Coach, good luck to you. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate all you do, man.
Hey, take it easy on Kentucky, Coach.
Coach Will Hall, everybody. Head football coach at Southern Miss. I'm so grateful that he comes on every week. Now, this was a great band right here, my friends. You're a big fan of Creedence Clearwater Revival, right, Dima?
I know who that is.
There we go. Dima. Coming up next, Lee Roberts.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill. That's where we will be this Friday. Looking forward to that. 4th Street Bar and Grill, great place to gather up this weekend for the football game Saturday night. I guarantee you they'll have a great crowd, have good food out there, and good drinks, and a lot of Southern Miss camaraderie. 4th Street Bar and Grill, great place to be all week long. I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, for their support. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road today. You can visit the new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And hello to Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, now officially endorsed by Dima Mixon. You can go to their Facebook page and check it out. Better still, I go down there and I'd order three big beignets and your favorite coffee, and you will be glad that Bob Getty suggested that to you. Mo Bay Beignet, Hardy Street. Dima Mixon, speaking of, we're going to have Lee Roberts on the show tomorrow. I had our dates mixed up, so I apologize for that. Lee will be on the show with us tomorrow, along with Luke Johnson. He's going to be joining us, I think, maybe even the play-by-play man for Kentucky, Kelly. Is that right? Yeah? Wake up, Kelly.
Over tomorrow. Here. No, Kelly, yeah, I'm looking here. At Kelly, the depth chart.
He's still hung over from his...
lick one of them ice cream cones off the front of his shirt. But
Yeah, it's one thing for you guys to pick on my clothes, but, you know, because I happen to be a fashion plate does not mean that you guys need to be, you know, picking on me.
Let's not forget who's single in the room.
You know. So we get Charlie Brown's teacher on the show.
All right, depth chart comes out today, Dima. What are the big surprises other than the fact that no one will say who the quarterback's going to be?
Well, I would say that the biggest surprise, I mean, it's not a surprise to me because I'm driving the bus for him, but the biggest surprise to me was when Will James was put on as corner, as a true redshirt freshman over Brendan Toles. I mean, that's a pretty experienced player who's played at Slimmers for a long time in Toles. And to start Will James over him, to know that he won that position battle, is a big deal to me. And I've been saying this for the past several weeks just about how good he's looked in camp. And Will said it just a few minutes ago. Like, I think in a couple of years, he could legitimately be a two-way player for them, you know, returning kickoffs maybe in the slot when Ty Mims is out and playing on. It's like Southern Miss's own version of Travis Hunter, honestly.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the defensive line, and we've talked about how that's Kentucky's strength, but it's also Southern Miss's strength. When you go through every one of those names, you know, Jalen Williams and – Bradarius Lewis,
D'Amico Rowland,
all those guys, they're all SEC experienced guys.
And if you look at the little words to the right of them, graduate, 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 junior, freshman, graduate, junior, freshman, graduate, graduate, graduate. That is a insanely experienced, veteran team down this defensive front seven that we've talked about all season could be the best front seven in the Sun Belt, and I think they will be.
When you talk about the depth of this team, too, on the defensive line, the defensive tackle position, right, you got Jalen Williams, who was at Arkansas, right? Backing him up is Armandus Cooley out of Wayne County, and all he did was play at Ole Miss. So when you're going...
Was it Mississippi State? I thought it was Mississippi State.
Was it?
Yeah.
Armandus was at State?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he was at Ole Miss. All right, so you got guys like that in backup positions for the time being. That should pretty much give you the status of how healthy the depth is, at least on the defensive front.
I mean, you even look at the one or they have in the nose guards position. I mean, I think it'll probably go to D'Amico Rowland, but Bardarius Lewis, man, that guy is a monster. And then if you look at the other end, on the defensive end, besides Jaleel Clemens, Kristen Booth or Eric Thomas, those two guys are monsters in practice. Eric Thomas has looked really good all fall camp. We all knew it would go to Kristen Booth, but Eric Thomas, listed as third, is crazy.
And you and I agree, too, that physically the offensive line looks a lot different than it has in the past. And I don't say that just from a standpoint of being big. They've been big the last three or four years. Perhaps not real athletic at times. This appears to be a much bigger athletic offensive line, Dima.
Yes. The only thing about the offensive line that's interesting to me is some of the question marks on the depth. When you look at left tackle with Tanner Welch, you know, you have a pretty experienced guy in Gabe Cavazos, but if something happens and he goes down, you got a redshirt freshman kind of going in there. And then after that, you know, on the other end, Greg Nunnery, if he goes down, he's the transfer. You know, Chris Hayes, who both of those players, don't get me wrong, Tanner Welch and Chris Hayes look great in practice. They just don't have the level of experience as Greg Nunnery or Gabe Cavazos. Another interesting part of the offensive line is Will Saxton getting the nod over Zach Conte.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Who's the transfer from Eastern Michigan. You have to remember, this is a big deal for Will Saxton. Will Saxton had one of the worst PFF grades in the country, in the country last season. And that's really why they brought in, you know, Conte, and they brought in some more depth in that position. And Saxton's probably had one of the more surprising fall camps in all offensive line position. He wins his own starting job. He does not get beat up.
And Dannis Jackson out of Sumrall in Lamar County, after, you know, being a journeyman at Ole Miss and then to Missouri, and then comes back home has won that wide receiver position, and that's something that he, you know, really wanted to come back home, compete, and win that position.
Yeah.
And right now he's number one at that wide receiver position. So you have to feel good about him. But again, another note, another SEC guy has found his way back.
Let me bring this up to you, Kelly. You and I have both been around a long time. I watched the last quarter or so of the Georgia Tech-Florida State game Saturday. Nobody gave Georgia Tech a prayer. Florida State, the great almighty Florida State. Well, Georgia Tech won the football game, and I've been around long enough. When I hear you guys talking about these SEC kids, former SEC kids, the offensive line is better, particularly the strength of the front seven, looks like a talented quarterback room. I don't know why anyone wouldn't think there's a chance the Golden Eagles could go up there and beat Kentucky. They're not going to play Florida State of last year. They're not going to play Georgia. They're going to play Kentucky.
But Kentucky is better, too. I hear what you're saying, but let's remember that the size pool that you're swimming in, it's not about beating Kentucky. It's about beating teams in the Sun Belt, right? So if you can go up there and compete against Kentucky – both teams are vastly improved, at least on paper.
So you're giving the Golden Eagles no chance?
No. Anytime you play a game, there's a chance. But I'm just saying, to me, it's not about losing to Kentucky or beating Kentucky. To me, all I care about are the Sun Belt games, because those are the ones that are going to, quote-unquote, count.
They have a better chance than Akron does of beating Ohio State. But I will say,
I think we all know that, Dima. In fact, if I were an Ohio State fan, I would put a bag over my head this Saturday while I watch that.
But I will say about the Florida State-Georgia Tech game, it had to be highly caloric. It was so delicious.
Uh-huh. It was good. I enjoyed watching it. I can tell you that. I enjoyed watching it.
One thing about this weekend is that, you know, for Southern Miss to win this game on Saturday in Kentucky, they're going to have to win the line of scrimmage, and I think that's just something that's going to be very hard for them to do. We heard Will Hall talk about the defensive line. While the offensive line is vastly improving, this is going to be a defensive line they have not seen yet. Nowhere near this is Southern Miss's defensive line in practice. There's some questions on the back end of the secondary. Will Tate Rodemaker or Ethan Crawford, whoever's throwing the ball, have time to throw the ball? Will Southern Miss's secondary be able to guard these four-star, three-star, five-star receivers from Kentucky, and will they be able to get pressure on the quarterback? That's what it's going to come down to. Can they sustain drives long enough? I think it's going to be a tall task. I mean, I think if you take the loss this weekend, you feel like you competed. This team, with this veteran presence on both sides of the football, they can compete with anybody else on the schedule they have, and that includes South
Florida.
This
will be the best team they play all year. Depth-wise, probably.
I mean, you can make an argument for Texas State, but I would say, you know, no, I would say
but still,
Kentucky.
They're not a Power 5 school.
Yeah, I think you could make that argument.
And we'll find out more tomorrow from Tom Leach, who is the longtime radio voice of the Kentucky Wildcats. He'll have the call of this game on their network, and, of course, it'll be televised on the SEC network. So we'll get to learn a little bit more about Kentucky and see what they're thinking as to who the starting quarterback might be.
I was reading on a lot of Kentucky messaging boards, and they are feeling like, at least the fan base is feeling like, a lot closer than the 28-point margin spread option.
Yeah, I'm just not ready to concede the game and just look for a moral victory. I want to see them play. And I think, Dima, I think if the defensive line can put a lot of pressure on the Kentucky quarterback, they can stay in the football game. But, you know, you got to do that. I get that. But there's the strength of our team, and then hope that you see some improved offensive line play and quarterback play. That's what we're all hoping for, right?
Yeah. I mean, and one thing about Kentucky is, you know, they really play that 3-3-5, I believe. And so that screens, man, those screens, if they can start getting upfield,
get a little momentum early, and get excited. Who knows?
No, I like the way you're thinking, Bob, because, you know, everybody's 0-0 at this point, except for Florida State.
Well, the biggest thing is,
right, Kelly?
Yeah,
the biggest thing is the expectation for Southern Miss fans. Do not go in there thinking you're going to win. Do not go in there thinking you're going to blow them out. Feel like you should compete, but if you don't, okay. We have a whole season in front of us. Get out of there without injuries.
Well, and please don't get on Eagle Post Saturday night if the Eagles don't win the game and start demanding that Will Hall be fired.
No.
I mean, act like you got a little bit of sense, okay?
Yes.
No, most of those people, they all want Travis Creel to be fired.
Yeah, I still think he should be fired. In fact, I think he ought to be fired today.
Poor Travis.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Coach Will Hall for joining us. Just a quick reminder, he'll be on the show every Monday at 1 o'clock. So if you want, obviously, the best analysis of Southern Miss football, there's one place to come. And you'll hear it straight from the coach's mouth every Monday at 1 o'clock. We're very, very grateful to Coach Hall for that. DBAT sponsors this segment of the show on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball, softball training. Kids get to meet Luke Reynolds. That'd be worth a trip down there. Great pro shop for the upcoming holidays. Just a great facility, one that we're very lucky to have. I mentioned this to the guys during the break. What was the name of that movie again, D-Man?
Arise.
Okay. So I spent 3 hours Saturday night watching the Kevin Costner Western Horizon. And if anybody has seen it and has any idea what the hell the ending was about, please text me, email me. I was screaming. I spent 3 hours of my life watching this, and I have no clue what just happened.
And at your age, how many hours do you have left?
They're precious.
For sure. I get it. Believe me.
Do you have any idea what the movie meant?
I didn't see it. My dad saw it.
What did he say?
I do know there's a part two coming out.
Thank God.
Yeah. So
what did your dad say? Did he say the same thing?
He falls asleep in pretty much every movie, so I don't know if he even saw. No offense to him, but he does. So,
well, that's what was even more aggravating. I stayed awake for 3 hours.
I've boycotted Kevin Costner since Dances with Wolves. Everybody else loved that movie.
Now, that was a good movie.
Oh, I thought it was a snooze fest. I thought Dances.
But you go to operas. You wear shirts with snow cones on them, for God's sakes. What would you do about a masculine Western movie?
I'll tell you what. If you owned a team, the mascot of your team would be the Green-Eyed Monsters, because you are so envious of all my top-of-the-line clothing.
Yeah, we just got word that this show is apparently about to be streamed live every day on Facebook. And so, Kelly, we're going to have a real serious conversation about
with
dress
the camera.
Codes.
With the camera.
Yes. Well,
why is this show so popular? I mean, you talk about Kevin Costner. Why would anybody listen to this show?
I think because Stump Taylor was on it at one time.
Okay, well, I buy that.
Where's Kelnack? Is he coming back?
Is he coming back anytime soon, Kelly?
From what I understand, he met with Coach Ladner over in the Middle East.
Really?
Yeah, and they got...
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Hump the Wonder Camel.
Yes.
That I think Kelnack will be making.
There it is.
Boy, all you have to do is tell our music conductor in the back, you know, whatever you want, and they pull it right up. But, yeah, he'll be here sometime before basketball season.
Well,
Dima,
please ask your dad tonight when you see him if he understood what the hell the last 10 minutes was about.
I know my fiance's dad said there were so many storylines because he went and saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And he said
you
have to, like, piece it all together at the end. You have to be paying attention. But yeah. I would say the best Western of all time. No Country for Old Men, if we're going to count that as a Western. That movie is terrific.
Well, that's a great movie.
Thank you.
I don't think you can call that a Western, though. There's no cowboys.
Open Range would be my other one.
Open Range was an excellent movie. Excellent.
Yeah, No Country for Old Men, though.
Don't tell us you didn't like that. Don't tell us.
Yeah, I wasn't a big...
But you're, you're a Bruno Mars fan.
Bruno Mars is a really talented person.
Yeah, let me tell you, folks. He started talking that crap during the break the other day, and I said, well, go back in the store and put your dress on and come back out here. And that ended the Bruno Mars conversation.
Whoa.
Address those letters to
politics has entered the equation again.
Getty. Yeah. Talent is talent, and I don't care who it is.
Bruno Mars. I can imagine Kelly's nightly routine is going home every night, getting a bowl of ice cream with a snow cone.
Keep going.
And turning on a rom-com where
there's
two of the same gender in the movie.
That's where you're wrong.
The best movie you've ever seen, Kelly. You enjoyed the most.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Well, that was a good one.
Is that a joke? Is that a real movie?
No, that's a Jack Nicholson movie. Yeah. That was a very good movie.
The Silence of the Lambs was great.
That was a good. My favorite Jack Nicholson though had to be The Shining.
Oh, God.
See, I'm not a big scary
Johnny.
I don't want to see that ever again.
I'm not a big scary movie person.
Y'all should be glad we don't have the live stream now because you would have seen Bob Getty with the Here's Johnny.
Yeah, greatest war movie of all time, A Bridge Too Far.
I'd say Hacksaw Ridge or Saving Private Ryan.
No, mine would be Bridge Over the River Kwai.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
No, that's 1959, Dima.
That was a good one. True story, too.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
So that was Alec Guinness.
How did we veer off in the movie?
Before he was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Before you came on the show.
I know.
Well, we always stayed on a strict format on this show, yes.
Well, if you want to hear two bits of news,
you've got 45 seconds.
All right, so Frank Gore Jr., absolutely, as we... we talked about it in the beginning of this
episode. Is he going to make it?
That's what I was going to say. The Bills writers are saying that he is going to make the 52-man roster.
That would be great.
So, and he went off, obviously, 101 yards and a touchdown for the Panthers. And then Swayze Bozeman for the Chiefs has also been looking good. He is not predicted to make the 53-man roster, but he's predicted to make the practice squad.
Yeah, well, Kansas City cheats. No. That would leave it to them to leave out a good guy like Swayze.
It'd be shocking, I think they're the first Monday night or Sunday night or some big night football game.
It's in Kansas City. How much you want to bet?
Oh, that's a pretty safe bet.
If they're playing at 3:00 on a Tuesday morning, it'll be on national TV.
Yeah, in Kansas City.
Yes.
And, no question about that.
They don't ever play any road games.
All right, we got a full show lined up for you all week. We'll have Lee Roberts, Luke Johnson.
The voice of the Wildcats on the show tomorrow. Mike Frazier sets the table for the first junior college games coming up on Thursday.
Will East on Friday.
High school football kicks off on Friday night, so we're ready to rock and roll.
Game week.
And it is game week. That is exactly right.
Let's get it going.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 1. Thanks for listening, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.